Hi, welcome to Coffee and Closers. I'm Nikolai Bedor, and I want to personally invite you to join me and one of today's top performing sales stars for a cup of coffee and authentic conversation. And our collective goal is that you will walk away with tangible knowledge that you can apply to your sales efforts today. Are you ready? Grab a cup, fill it up, and let's get into another episode of Coffee and Closers.
All right, welcome to Coffee and Closers. Thanks for coming. So it's been a crazy 2019, am I right? Yeah, we're on to the new decade. A lot of changes, a lot of things coming. Thank you, first of all, for supporting Coffee and Closers. If you're listening at home, thank you for tuning in. It's been an incredible ride, and we're just getting started. We have some exciting announcements that are changing for us. One of them is going to be we're going to be deploying Closers Community, which is going to be kind of a virtual bridge, we'll say, from the long, cold days in between each episode. It's going to be a place to collaborate, a place to share, a place to learn, and you can look for that in the beginning of Q1. Speaking of changes, in this new kind of end of year thing, new decade thing, a lot of people look to their situation and they say, I want to make some changes, right? Maybe it's a habit you want to kick, or maybe it's a new job, maybe it's, well, in Mick's case, a revolution. Mick White, I've been saving him for this time right now. Not just the end of the year, but the end of the decade. It's when people, I don't know about you guys, but it's when people hit the gym or they do all kinds of things. And really for us is when we plot out not just what Coffee and Closers looks like for next year. What does our lives look like for the next decade, right? Mick, for 20 years, was a financial planner. Anybody ever met a financial planner? They're everywhere. Really hard to stand out. And let's be honest, we're all in somewhat commoditized businesses, whether you're in recruiting or sales software, we all are our own financial planner. It's really hard to stand out, okay? Mick did it successfully for 20 years, but 4 years ago, he had a personal, kind of a personal challenge ripped through his personal life. And it gave him the opportunity, well, it put a fork in his road, and he had to make a choice. Do you play it safe? Do you stay the course and do exactly what he'd been doing? Or does he take that pain and does he use that fuel and start a revolution? He did just that, and he started the 100-Year Manifesto. And I'll let him explain what that is, but basically he has taken what was a commoditized kind of thing, and he is changing the lives of founders, entrepreneurs, and so on from a financial standpoint, but also from a life standpoint. That is why he is our last guest in 2019. Please put your hands together for Mr. Mick White.
All right.
Here we are.
You're not going to cry, are you?
Not yet.
You'd be the seventh. That's been a trend this year. So I just ripped through your entire career. I want you to fill in the blanks. But here's what I'd love to do is kind of understand you, where you've been. What is the 100-Year Manifesto? And then how has sales played a part in your life up to this point?
Yeah, so the 100-Year Manifesto is just a framework for your life. For entrepreneurs or business owners, like, the question is, like, what are you really trying to do? Like, how do you define success, and what does that look like? And so I got started. My father's a business owner, entrepreneur, always had some sort of business going on, and has been in the insurance industry since I was about 6 years old. Since I was 6 years old, always been in the insurance world, and I saw, like, the good times when he and my mom would go on trips and amazing things, and then I also saw the times where our van got repossessed and our house got foreclosed on, and we didn't have any money at all. And so I've always seen sales and business on both sides of it, and I appreciate my dad's transparency about it all, and also some of the conversations that we would have at the dinner table. I realized not everybody has those conversations about, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and my dad one day, so at this time in my life, we had duct tape on the windows. We call it the duct tape years. And in the wintertime, we had duct tape, we had plastic, and then duct tape on all the windows. And when it got windy, all the duct tape and the plastic would blow out, and it would blow back in. And that was our insulation for our house. And this was about the same time my dad, we were having dinner one night, and he started choking. He ate something, started choking. And it was funny for a minute, and then it became not funny. And he turned red, and it got, you know, real quiet. And as a 13-year-old, finally he caught his breath, my dad did, and kind of heaved this big sigh of relief. And I kind of snapped my fingers, and I was like, shoot, I thought we were going to be rich. And I knew we were going to be rich because Dad had a bunch of life insurance. And I thought that if he wasn't there, we would have some money. And it was really, I saw the impact. I knew the impact that my dad was making on people's lives in a sales career, wearing a suit every day, working hard for our family. But I knew firsthand, like, if Dad wasn't there, our family was still going to be okay. And so I've always kind of grew up in sales. I thought I was going to be a high school history teacher for a while. I got that out of my mind after I graduated college, was in my father's office for about 9 years, moved up to Minnesota for a bigger opportunity. And then 13 years later, here we are sitting at Coffee and Closers.
Whew, you made it.
I made it.
Clearly.
This is it.
So something, this is a sales show, as you know, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. But something that you're known for is your unique prospecting abilities, like how you approach prospecting. Would you share that with us in detail?
Well, yeah, sure. The first time Mikalai and I met, we had coffee at a coffee shop not too far from here, and it was before the Coffee and Closers days. And I had it was during these last 4 years. It was a tough time in my life, and I had a 2-year-old sitting on my lap. And Mikalai is sitting across from the table from me, and I just lose it. Just can't get it together. We hadn't even said hello yet, and I lose it. And Mikalai, as he does, he's just like, dude, are you okay? And I can't respond. Like, I am just in tears. And he's like, can I pray for you right now? And so in the midst of all these hipsters and beards and, you know, everything else at this coffee shop, Mikalai gets up, comes around the other side of the table and prays for me while he doesn't even know my son's name sitting on my lap, why I'm in tears. And I think that unique prospecting, that you might call it, is really just a transparency or authenticity of, like, this is who I am. This is what's going on in my life. Like, I could have pretended like everything was great, but everything wasn't great in my life. And how we became instant, like, I will never forget that day. I will never forget that day that you prayed for me at a coffee shop. And from then on, I think it changed our friendship. It changed our relationship because of that uniqueness of being able to be vulnerable to say, like, everybody has a story, right? Like, so Mr. Rogers said, I quote some, I graduated in the half of the class that made the top half possible.
Thank you for your service for my
graduation. So, take that. Somebody had to, right?
I depended on kids.
Yeah,
like,
well, you're welcome.
So thank you.
But Mr. Rogers said, like, it's hard not to love somebody once you've heard their story. And everybody has some sort of story. And I think we forget that in sales, that I'm trying to sell you something, so I'm just going to, like, call you up, blow up your day, and think that you're going to say yes because I called you. And yet, what's really going on in your day is other stuff. You weren't expecting me to call. You weren't waiting for me to call. And in my experience, no one's ever really, when they met me, been like, I'm so glad I met you. Like, they give me a hug and, like, this is the best day of my life. Like, that doesn't happen. But this story that we all have is, like, if we can start with some sort of vulnerability of, like, how's your day going? Well, here's how my day's going. And not to, like, create some sort of sympathy, but just a realness of, this is what's going on in my life. This is who I am. And if you're not okay with that, that's okay. Like, I'm good with not everybody liking me. I hope everybody doesn't like me. Like, that, you're probably doing something wrong if everybody does.
You're, from the moment I met you, you know, and not knowing any of this other stuff.
When I was in tears.
Yep. When you're in tears, and I kind of picked you up and pet. I'm just joking. I remember that, man. That was, it was like just, that just happened. And something about you is that person is that was your authentic self in that moment. And I've known that you have been authentic. If how many people know Mick White? I mean, he's a household name by now, but okay, you guys don't. I mean, your authenticity is what makes you real, right? It's what draws everybody in. In your business, okay, from the financial advising bit of it to the people that now you have attracted as your clients, these are members of the Minnesota Wild. These are incredibly talented people over at SureSwift Capital, at Generator, right? Your client list is quite impressive. But there had to be a point where someone trusted you, okay? Someone trusted you. I'm guessing it was your authentic whatever, but what I'm trying to get to is, how do you create with something that's so valuable to these people? It's their livelihood, it's their life, it's their future, it's their children's future. How do you authentically establish trust?
So I've learned most sales pitches go something like this. I'm great, my company's great, my products are great, my prices are great, I'm really into relationships and I'm a nice guy. In fact, I'm so nice, I go to church twice a week, unlike your current person only goes to church once a week. Terrible person, terrible company, you're paying way too much. Do business with me. By the way, I printed your LinkedIn contact list. If you could introduce me to these five people, I would appreciate that. And I think, what part of that is like the golden rule? What part of that is do unto others? Because if we really did live by that, you know, I talked to you about this of like, how many people, when they met their spouse, did they get married or did they get proposed the first time they met them? Like, hey, we're on a date. I know we just met. You want to get married? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, I printed your Facebook. Like, you have some friends. Like, would you mind introducing me to them? Like,
That doesn't work?
I can't. Well, I don't. It might. It you do it enough, it probably works. That's not my style, right? Like, that just doesn't work for me. But I think so much in sales, that's how we're trained of just like, I'm just going to go vomit all over people and see if somebody says yes. And so this thought of like, instead of me going around asking everybody for five introductions. So something that happened that was, it was an awful experience, but it was very valuable, is that I had a business consultant come in and for 10 weeks tell me about the industry best practices. And he's like, how many referrals are you getting a week? I'm like, I don't know, like zero? He's like, well, you need to get at least 50. I'm like, I've been doing this for like 15 years. I'm like, I'm not getting 50. He just kept talking about the industry best practices and the industry best practices. And the whole time I'm like, these are not my best practices. And so to quote my philosopher, Popeye, like Popeye said, like, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, right? Like,
let that one sink in for a minute.
Did he not say that? He said it like he knew who he was. He's like, I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. And then he said it again, like, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Like, he wasn't a navigator of the high seas. He didn't come up with like some sort of like creative, like, I got you, I tricked you, but I'm actually a sailor man. And he just knew who he was. And so I think this whole time of like this do unto others, this golden rule, like, what if instead of me going around asking everybody for five introductions and at the end of the week getting 50 names, and now I'm just going to start cold calling you, and until you either become a client of mine or you hate my guts and you hate the person who gave me your name, is that what if I just started making great introductions for other people? Because chances are, when we met, you didn't need to meet somebody like me. You're not a client. Like, we're friends, right? We've been through stuff, but maybe what you really needed was some people that I knew. Maybe if I could add value to your life, mm-hmm. if I could make an introduction that would change your life, that would be good. Whether or not anything's in it for me. So much of networking, you know, so there's only one letter that separates networking and not working, right? It's the N and the E are different in the word. So, but so much of networking is going around in this very selfish manner of looking for people to sell them something. And instead of, like, what if I just went around looking to help people? Maybe they don't need to meet me, but maybe somebody that I know can really help them out. And if I just did more and more of that all the time, life's going to be pretty good.
Amen. That's what makes you the best. Let's get a clap. All right.
But that's what
you guys now are getting why I wanted him on the show. The way that he approaches prospect, the way that he approaches business is it's beautiful, and it's something that everybody can learn from because we've all been guilty. Has anyone went to a networking thing with a bunch of business cards in your pocket and you're like, I'm totally going to be different, and then the first person that needs whatever system you're selling or service, you whip out the card and you're like, dang it, I did it again, right? So let's talk about conversion, because rumor has it that's a challenge of yours, and the culprit was you that told me that. So how, you know, this inspirational episode, I guess, is kind of getting over, you know, selling against all odds, and that was really, it was hard for you. Can you kind of talk about maybe how you got over that and how you were able to, you know, win the trust of your incredible client list?
So about 4 years ago, so I've been in sales since I was 21, and 4 years ago, through some personal stuff in life, I ended up in counseling for the first time. And again, I had at that point a 10-month-old sitting on my lap. I'm in counseling, and he's like, so why are you here? And I just like tell him all this stuff, and he just like sits back. He's like, that's a lot. And I'm like, and so he said, like, you're handling it pretty well. I'm like, apparently not, because I'm here with you right now. And so after the second session, you know, you kind of give your little, you know, evaluation, and he's like, you know, you have anxiety, right? And it blew my mind, and because I did not know I had anxiety. And I've had this feeling since I was probably in junior high. As long as I can remember, I've had this feeling, but I've always thought I was shy. And people are like, you're not shy. And I'm like, oh, I'm shy. But it's this overwhelming anxiety that I have. And in a world of sales, like, to have anxiety isn't a good thing, right? Like, that, because you're supposed to pick up the phone and just call people. And the heaviest thing for me in my life is a phone. Like, to pick it up and to call somebody just doesn't happen. And so I had to come up with something else. Because the ABC, right? We've always heard ABC, like, always be closing. And I'm like, man, that is so not me. And so I came up with like NBC, like never be closing. Not just a hat rack right there. And so this never be closing is just like, what if I just serve others? What if I just give and give and give, knowing that it comes back? And so probably my, you know, if I look at my top client list, some of them that you mentioned, some others that are fairly sizable clients, at one point or another, they said something along the lines to me of like, can we do business together? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, like we can do business together. I hadn't ever asked them, and it wasn't because I didn't want them to become a client, is that it's really tough for me to ask anybody that final question. Where I've read the books, you've talked about, like, just say this and say this. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then when it comes time, I'm like, all right, that was great. Like, I'll see you later. And then I'll follow up with, like, hey, if you want to work together, that would be great. Or, you know, just, but it's really hard for me to quote unquote close somebody. So I came up with the NBC.
And there's duct tape on your windows, right?
Yeah, right. Like,
I'm kidding. You know, you've turned that, though, that philosophy that you've never strayed from. It's been fun to watch you do you for so long, man. It's why we're all here. That's why this room is packed, is because we want to, how you do it and what you do is so special. I don't think you realize that, probably. Because you're, despite your fear of closing or whatever, people trust you. And in your business, trust is everything.
For 23 years, so I think 23, 24 years, like, I've never once made a cold call. Like, I've tried, And then once you know, I started pranking people. Like they would answer, and I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. And I would. So, but I've never made a cold call. But I had to come up with other coping mechanisms, essentially. Of if you can't call people and you're in sales, you better figure something else out, right? You better figure out a way that works for you, because I imagine you can call about anybody. Just like give you a phone and you're off and running.
Well, I have to, because as bad as I am at computers, I mean, you know, figuring out email these days is. talk to us about how you leverage Twitter. Speaking of like mechanisms, this guy's, if you guys follow Mick on Twitter, he's the king. And I know you've earned some business from kind of your Twitter engagements. Do you have some stories to share?
Well, yeah, sure. I am pretty amazing on Twitter.
And humble.
Right? Like, I'm the most humble person I know. But because of so 4 years ago today, like my world changed, ironically enough, today's the anniversary of it. And so all of a sudden I had a 10-month-old with me pretty much all the time. And that made business difficult, right? Like I don't have family in Minnesota. I didn't have he wasn't in daycare, and my world got turned upside down. And so now I have a 10-month-old. And it's in December, and like he doesn't even have shoes. Like I wasn't ready for winter time, and so Twitter, I had to then learn, if I can't work 40 or 50 hours a week as I was, I better figure out a way that I can still connect with people. I better figure out a way that works for me and my situation, of how can I build trust? How can I serve others? How can I engage with other people? And it became via Twitter. Because you can do Twitter on the couch. You can do Twitter while you're feeding a 10-month-old a bottle. You can do Twitter at 3 a.m. And it worked really well for me. And so my whole thing on social media is I don't post. I'm not a thought leader. I don't put out a lot of white papers or anything, as much as I just engage with other people. When you post something and I think if it's valuable, I may send it to somebody else. Say, like, Mikolai, you should check, or Aaron, you should check out what Mikolai just sent. Or I can respond to you on your Twitter. But there's so many ways. But it takes, I can't just retweet things. Or on LinkedIn, like there's nothing that drives me up a wall more than just a random LinkedIn connection with nothing else on it. Like, connect. I'm like, what do you want to connect with me about? Like, put some effort into it. So I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I spend a little bit of time on LinkedIn. But I think it's really trying to, I think what you're getting at is, and I've learned from Aaron Eggert, who was a guest here, of that it's really about that final 5%. Like a lot of us, whatever industry we're in, like 95% of it looks about the same from the consumer. And it's that final 5% that, so it's one thing to say happy birthday to me on my birthday. Right, that's nice, but that's not really hard. To post it on Facebook, or if there's a work anniversary, just to put like or congratulations, that's not really that impressive, I would say. What's impressive is the people who reach out to me on the anniversary of my mom's death. Like, that means a lot to me. Or to say, like, Mick, I know December 3rd is a tough day for you. And those people make a difference. Those people show me that they actually care. Because the whole thing, like, I'm really into relationships, and I'm always just like, prove it. Like, prove to me that you're really into relationships. Because so many industries are just like, hey, Mikolai, I'm really into relationships. I'm just like, I don't need more friends. Like, that's not what I'm here for, as much as I want to develop true, meaningful conversations. And so instead of after this, you know, I send you an email and say, hey, Mikolai, this was great. Thanks for having me on. What if I send you a handwritten card? And what if the handwritten card has a quote that I got printed specifically for you? And I put something in there that says, Mikolai, I really appreciate our friendship. I don't know where I would be in my life without you. What you're doing with Coffee and Closers is amazing. And I am so thankful that we met 2.5 years ago, Mick. And then I put it in the envelope, I hand addressed it, and then I put a wax seal on it like King George would, and then put it in the mail to you.
He does this, and it's incredible, okay? I have one more question. I'm going to take one more question. I'm not going to look that way. We're at the end, so we're going to open this up for questions in just a second. I'm going to have to wrap a question up. We're wearing the same shirt, which is pretty awesome. I think great minds dress alike. Is that the phrase? That's very uncommon, though, for someone in your industry to be able to dress like you want, okay? So since this is going to be kind of three questions in one, and we're at the end of a year, and people, anyone looking to make any significant changes in their life, whether it be going to the gym for the first time or, okay, everybody. I'm kidding. what I'd like to talk about is you, 4 years ago today, was a hard, hard moment. You used that fuel to start a revolution, and that revolution began with, I want to live my best life every single day until I get it. And then I'm going to go help others do the same exact thing. You saw those hands go up, man. Any advice that you could give as we end this season on how to live your best life, purposeful life, whether it's personally or in business?
Yes, sometimes jeans and a t-shirt and a pair of tennis shoes is like, that's the best you can do. And the reality of, like, life is too short to go through being average. And at some point, if you're not happy where you're at, you got to make a change. And if you don't make a change, you're choosing to be unhappy. And when values are clear, decisions are easy, right? Like, if you know who you are, you know what you should do. And most of us need some sort of inspiration or desperation to make a big change in our life. And frequently the year end is that time to say, like, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to make these changes, I'm going to do this. But it doesn't have to be 2020. It could be today, December 3rd, 2019. And, Red from Shawshank Redemption, right? Like, Red said, like, get busy living or get busy dying, right? Like, or maybe said it the other way around, get busy dying or get busy living. Like, today's the day to make the change. It doesn't have to be someday in the future. But this thought of, if you're not okay with me having some tattoos or being in a t-shirt today, I'm okay with that. And if you hear my story and you're still not okay with it, well, then we're just not a good fit, right? Like, just trying to be very authentic to, I have some tattoos, and this is it. This is my life, and you get to choose your life. And if you're not choosing your life, you're allowing other people to choose that life for you, and that's no way to go through life. Like, so at some point, define your own success, define what your purpose in life is, and then go build your life around it. Go build your company around it. Go build everything that you want to be. Like, go do it today. Go do it January 1st, but go do it.
Brother, there is no better way to end a season and no better way for us to end a decade than having you on the show, man. It has been a true pleasure. I know if I kind of sold you on being on here. This is why, though, what you just shared, man. Put your hands together for Mick White.
All right, so what do we think? What'd you learn? Well, if you like that, check out coffeeclosers.com for upcoming episodes, recordings, and more. And don't forget to check out our sponsors. Each one has been hand-selected. They are best in class. Until next time, we'll see you at the next Coffee and Closers. Cheers.
Say live, come on, live. Live a life we love. Gotta live, I said live. Live a life we love.